It's 2 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Stanley. Changes are likely to be made to Nottinghamshire Police's senior management team. A report being published around now is said to criticise the force's leadership, but praises frontline staff and fully endorses the Chief Constable, Julia Hodson. The leader of Nottingham City Council, John Collins, has now been appointed to chair a special group of the police authority.
The actions that we're proposing to take will certainly bring about some very quick and significant change as far as the police authority is concerned. The Chief Constable is looking to change her senior management team and will also, I think, in a very short period of time, make a big difference.
Protests have gathered in Nottingham's Old Market Square ahead of a city council meeting this afternoon to decide its budget. They're demonstrating against possible cuts to services and increases in charges for daycare and staffing. BBC Radio Nottingham's Philip Chapman says there's also been some disruption to public transport.
Several protesters are laying across the tram track. A couple of protesters in wheelchairs are actually on the tram tracks, which means two trams are currently stationary in Old Market Square, both the north and southbound trams. Several police officers are in attendance, and there's quite a crowd gathering, probably up to around 100, 150. Lots of folks taking their pictures on mobile phones. And it looks to be fairly peaceful as a demonstration, but it is certainly holding up the trams at the moment.
Hundreds of civil servants across Nottinghamshire are continuing a two-day strike over changes to their redundancy entitlement. The Public and Commercial Services Union claims some of its members could lose up to a third of their entitlement, but the government says the changes are fair. A 33-year-old man has pleaded guilty to the kidnap, rape and murder of a teenage girl near Darlington. Teesside Crown Court heard how Peter Chapman killed Ashley Hall, who was 17, in October after meeting her on Facebook. Her body was found in a field near Sedgefield. She'd been strangled. The mother of the toddler James Bulger is demanding to know why one of her son's killers has been sent back to jail. Denise Fergus says she's been suffering sleepless nights since finding out John Venables had been returned to custody. The Justice Secretary Jack Straw will answer an urgent question about the case in Commons this afternoon. Lawyer Paul Mendel from the Criminal Bar Association says Mr. Straw should avoid giving too much information about Venables.
In due course, he is arrested or charged with a criminal offence, then there's a real risk that the subsequent criminal proceedings might be impeded or prejudiced.
And the government's giving more than £1 million to fund over 60 affordable homes in Giltbrook near Eastwood. 12 will be for rent, the rest will be sold through a social housing scheme called Home Buy Direct. The houses will be offered first to local people. News on BBC Radio Nottingham, it's 3 minutes past two.
Good afternoon, Joe Davis with you, in for John Holmes on this Monday afternoon. And your weather cloud will increase gradually from east during the afternoon. As the temperature starts to get up a little bit, it should feel quite pleasant with light winds. 6 degrees Celsius, that is 34 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight, generally cloudy, with drizzle from time to time over the hills. 1 degree, your high.
Major problems across Nottinghamshire at the moment, I'm pleased to say. Looking quite good at the second through Nottingham city centre on the TravelWise cameras. Those earlier problems as well in Trowell seem to have sorted themselves out with the Stapleford Road. They're looking much better now around the Derbyshire Avenue. A lorry actually hit the railway bridge a little earlier, but things through there seem to be fine. Clunvilla Health on the M1 as well, and public transport is moving well. I'm Adam Murray, and your next travel's in half an hour.
Joe Davis.
BBC Radio Nottingham.
Yeah.
great song from ABBA. Does Your Mother Know on BBC Radio Nottingham, 7 minutes past two, Monday afternoon. Joe Davis in for John Holmes for a couple of weeks while he takes a well-earned break. On the show this afternoon, hear from the Ruddington man who is one of the people behind 100 Stories for Haiti. Lots of stressing scenes and news coverage and radio coverage that you'll have seen and heard about when the terrible events in Haiti happened. And I don't know whether he decided to give and get involved, whether you bought the charity single or whether you decided to put money in a collection or whether you decided to just go a little bit further than that. Hear from the Ruddington man that's done just that. Also, the Mansfield mum who's going coast to coast in memory of her son. She'll share her story a little bit later on as well. Great music to come from the Stereophonics, the Commodores and the Beautiful South. And in just a moment on BBC Radio Nottingham, we'll go all historical with Paul Wiltshire. We'll be celebrating a very special anniversary, the Anglo-Saxons' 1600th birthday this year and their effect on Nottinghamshire. You would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies lit up the world as I fell asleep. Cause they fill the open air and leave teardrops everywhere. You'd think me rude, but I would just stand and stare. Cause I get a thousand hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs. They tried to teach me how to dance. A foxtrot above my head, a sock hop beneath my bed. A disco ball is just hanging by a thread. I'd like to make myself believe that the planet Earth turns slow. Owl City and Fireflies on BBC Radio Nottingham, 11 minutes past two. And I don't know about you, but when I was at school, I loved history. But I was the kind of person that loved history when I learnt about things like Henry VIII, for example, or who the kings and queens were. In fact, one of the things that my mum has got that she loves so much is a ruler. And on this ruler, it actually labels from the beginning to where we are now all the kings and queens. And I love that. And she's very much into that sort of the way of learning history. And so am I. There was a point, though, when I was at St John's in Mansfield, where they taught me things about peat bogs and stuff about burial and things like that that were fun, but it wasn't bog standard history as I wanted to know about, really. So one of the other possessions that my mum has that has also been very good, or one of the things that she taught me, was a little saying on how to remember Henry VIII's wives, because you see it on telly a lot, don't you? You see a recent TV series, for example, that Jonathan Rhys-Meyers did. I mean, that big thing, wasn't it? But who knew what wife was coming when if you hadn't learnt at school? So the saying was, divorce, beheaded, died. Divorce, beheaded, survived. Which one matches which one? Let's not go there. But at least it reminded me which order they all came in. It's the way to learn history. So when I knew that historian Paul Wiltshire was coming on the programme this afternoon, I was really pleased. I thought, Paul, this is a moment of much learning for me. Welcome to BBC Radio Nottingham. Nice
Thank
to see
Jill.
You.
Nice to see you again.
When you were at school, how did you learn history? A bit like I've said, or not?
Yeah, I was quite passionate about it. And I think if you're passionate about it and you love it, you remember things, don't you? I mean, I was like you. I think dates were thrown at me and they... to some extent, a little bit, to be honest. I prefer the people approach.
I do, very much so, when, you know, like all those things I've mentioned, just learning. And did you say all that, that you learned
loads of them like
to look
that.
Facts and stuff? Yeah. Come on, teach me on the stuff.
All right.
You've got well, at least 20 minutes to think of something.
Yeah, we're talking here about our ancestors, and that's the important thing for people to remember. We're not just talking about an anonymous body here, Anglo-Saxons. That's where we come from. And it's 1,600 years ago today.
That is what we are celebrating on the programme this afternoon.
That's correct.
Which the first thing I've got to ask is, if this was the time of Anglo-Saxons and they had a huge celebration, anniversary, wedding, whatever, to celebrate, how would they have celebrated?
Well, the thing about Anglo-Saxons is they had this tremendous, particularly the men, the warriors, they had this tremendous lust for fame and they wanted to be rewarded for this fame. And the kings, the leaders, the tribal warriors who ruled the different regions of England would often give jewellery and particularly rings. And the leaders and the kings, they were known as ring givers. Hence we get the Lord of the Rings. Because Tolkien, of course, was a master of history over in Oxford there. So the
things all have a link, don't they?
Pardon?
Things all have a link.
Oh, yeah.
And it's how we learn about stuff like that.
Yeah. The thing is, the Anglo-Saxons weren't just one race of people. Whilst we say it's 1,600 years ago, in the year 410, what happens is the Romans leave us, and they've been here for 400 years at that time, and in pour across the country to fill the void hundreds and thousands of different peoples. There were loads of races. There was a race of people called the Frisians from the Netherlands. There were Angles, there were Saxons, and there were Jutes. And it was the Angles, Saxons and Jutes that were dominant. They were the most common race. And... legend has it that there's a man in the south of England called Vortigern. And Vortigern was this great, fantastic leader in the south. And when the Romans left, he couldn't defend his borders, you see, because the Picts and the men from the Scotland were raiding. So what he did was he cried for help from the continent. And great Venerable Bede, one of our first historians, he tells us that thousands and thousands of his colleagues sailed across the North Sea in their longships, in their longboats, to help him. Protect his borders against these raiders from the north in return for bits of land in his country.
Right. So would you say this was the start of
indeed
Britain
it is.
Or Britishness as we knew it
Englishness,
really then?
Actually.
Englishness then, yeah.
Yes, very much so. Scotland and Ireland are very deserving of their own study and their own history. But they were at this time, Joe, very much separate from us. And what happens is as these different tribes come into England, the Angles... the race of Angles, they come from the centre of Denmark, really.
See, we say Anglo-Saxon, don't we? We've got our own interpretation of language of how they would have said
Well, the name Anglo-Saxon
now.
Comes from early writers, and they wanted to distinguish... the Saxons came from North Germany, and they wanted to distinguish Saxons from Europe, and the Saxons that were in this country, or the Saxons in the country, were obviously the English Saxons, the Anglo-Saxons, you see. So that's where the term first came about.
So this is from 410 onwards, isn't it?
This is 410,
when it kind of began.
Yeah, and you put it very well, Joe. It is onwards because these invasions, they take place over two centuries. It doesn't happen overnight.
I was going to say, with everything, whether you say it's the Age or the Stone Age or whatever period of time you look at back in history, everything's got a beginning and an end.
Yes, it has.
Where do we see the Anglo-Saxons? How long did they reign for?
650 years. It begins with these 4th and 5th century migrations and it ends... the Battle of Hastings, which everybody knows
1066.
About, on the 14th of October, 1066, yes, when we lost our Anglo-Saxon king. But there's one thing I would like to tell you, and that people often forget, and we all know about the Battle of Hastings, and we know that William the Conqueror, the great Norman warrior, conquered England and gave us a Norman-stroke-French culture. But conveniently, he forgot to mention one thing. He was married to Matilda. Matilda was Anglo-Saxon. She was the direct descendant of King Alfred the Great, one of our greatest leaders. So our Anglo-Saxon blood and heritage passed on through her, you see. Mm. So, yeah, it's 650 years and it ends at the Battle of Hastings when our very last Anglo-Saxon leader, King Harold, of course, lost the battle.
I don't know why I remember 1066 and the Battle of Hastings, but it's one of my main things. If you ask me, you know, again, Henry VIII's wives and that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to show for it. I've learned many other things I've learned as well. Yeah. But the two key things, I'm very good at quizzes.
All right.
And coming up in a competition and got lost, and that's all right.
Okay.
Big deal, the Anglo-Saxons. We're going to learn more in a moment about them. And particularly, Paul, I want to know more about their effect on Nottinghamshire and how they came into our county and what effect they had. I hear more from historian Paul Wiltshire on BBC Radio. I'll see him in a couple of moments' time. It's 17 minutes past two now.
Andy Whittaker on BBC Radio Nottingham.
It's an early start, around 4:30 a.m. Breakfast on BBC Radio Nottingham starts at 6, and there's a lot of preparation to do. Getting to know the stories that you're going to hear, checking the newspapers, finding a new twist to a tale. All that means that you get an unmissable show. Often you'll see a story that started in Nottinghamshire be big news elsewhere. It's such a rewarding job.
Andy Whittaker, Breakfast, BBC Radio Nottingham.
Set the world right. Find us a dream that don't ask no questions, yeah. Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me, we go in style. Crackling rose, your store-bought woman. But you make me sing like a guitar humming. So hang on to me, girl, our song keeps running on. Play it now, play it now, my baby. Crackling rose and make me a smile. Girl, if it lasts for an hour, well, that's alright. Cause we got all night to set the world right. Find a dream that don't ask no question.
Neil Diamond and Cracklin' Rosie on BBC Radio Nottingham, 21 minutes past two now. And with me in the studio, you've just been hearing from historian from Nottinghamshire, Paul Wiltshire, back on the programme, this time talking about the Anglo-Saxons, because this year, 2010, is their 1600th anniversary. A few moments ago, you heard Paul saying that in 410 AD, that was really the time when everything was created and the Anglo-Saxons, as we describe them now, began their reign in the... In, well, it was... I say began their reign, but really, as you said, it was a time when Britishness started as we know, wasn't it? When they all came together, it was formed right through 650 years until 1066. That's what I've learned so far. The thing I'd like to know now, though, Paul, is, you know, we talk very much about how historical facts affect the whole of Britain and maybe in the UK and the world. But what about Nottinghamshire? Where did we fit into the Anglo-Saxons' life?
OK, well, just to put things in quick time perspective without getting too bogged down, the local tribes here that lived in this region for up to 1,000 years before Christ were the Corritani, they were called. So they were the local Nottingham people. Then the Romans come in and take over from them. But of course the Corritani still exist, but under Roman rule. Then the Romans left, as we've just heard, and in come the Angles, Saxons and Jutes. Now this area was predominantly Angles. Okay. Now we know for a fact that they sailed up the River Trent, because of course it was very accessible from the east of the country. We know that they stayed very close to the river valleys because they were their highways. They wouldn't go too far from their ships for safety reasons, and also the land on either side of the River Trent was safe. We know from surviving cremation cemeteries that have been excavated and found that they lived alongside the Trent Valley. In 1836, an Anglian cremation site was found in Newark. And then more excitingly, in 1842, another was found on Home Pier Point.
Other place I know well.
Yeah, and isolated Anglian burials as opposed to cremations were found at places like Octon, Aslockton and Cotgrave. And interestingly, they were all on the south bank of the river.
Can't do we know why that? We don't
no,
know.
No, we don't. You heard the term Dark Ages.
Yes.
They're called that because from this period onwards, history does get rather dark. There's very little written about this area, and it's very difficult to track and trace the movements of the Anglians, particularly in this country. But to cut a long story short...
Before you carry on about that, you know, to do with the burial sites and everything else, quite a lot about that earlier on this morning, and how many there were, which was surprising. Do you think in Anglo-Saxon times, though, they took more care and it was a much bigger deal when they passed away?
Oh, yeah,
they made them into much more idols, even, than obviously it's now. Do you know, more... I almost thought they were more important when they died than they were when they were alive.
I think you're absolutely right, Joe, because anybody who has been to Sutton Hoo, near Woodbridge in Suffolk, will have seen both the ordinary person and the wealthy person, the gorgeous, beautiful treasures that they were buried with. And as you quite rightly say, their passing was very important. Now, there is a saying in Anglo-Saxon which actually typifies the attitude and the approach of the Anglo-Saxons. And it goes like this, Dorn bith se last. What that means is that fame, reputation and esteem is everlasting. Mm. Our presence on this earth is temporary, transitory and it's short, but our reputation lasts forever. And you can see that through these gorgeous jewels. And I know I was over in Stoke on Friday looking at this recent treasure trove of Anglo-Saxon stuff. It's just beautiful beyond compare, Joe. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Has it kept well?
Oh, yes. And it hasn't even been cleaned yet or indeed examined by experts in depth. It's now closed. It closed yesterday and it's going to be examined and then cleaned and then examined for a period of approximately 2 years when, you know, we should have a little bit more light shed on it. But you can still see the gorgeous gold and garnets, just like you say, Joe.
I bet you were like in the sweet shop, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Yes, I'm a good lady and also a friend who is teaching me the Anglo-Saxon language at the moment. She knows a little bit about these things. And we were just all three of us captivated by its beauty. I mean, some of the stuff is minute, and yet the carving and the detail on it was just absolutely exquisite.
When we're all moved on, life has changed in many years to come, and people look back to our era, it just won't be the same. We should bury people with jewels. That's not what I'm meaning. But we don't commemorate and do things in a historical way as much, it seems, as people did in those eras and those periods of times.
I think England and the English has been a little bit subsumed by other issues. But yes, I agree with you. I think today people are more concerned about fame, or I think that the common word is celebrity, isn't it, during their lifetime. The Anglo-Saxons were the opposite, you see, this Dorn bith se last concept. You know, their fame and reputation had to be everlasting into the future. That's, as you say, Joe, that's not the way it is today.
More from Paul Wiltshire to come on BBC Radio Nottingham. Also, if you've got anything to ask him, get in touch with me on the phone, Nottingham 9343434. You can also text me, 077 86 20 10 38. And of course, you can email me direct to the studio, joe.davis@bbc.co.uk. Now, this band were in Nottingham at the arena on Friday night. Did you go and see them? I wish I'd been there. If I hadn't been away for the weekend, I would have grabbed myself a ticket if I could have. They are, of course, the Stereophonics. This is Handbags and Glad Rags on BBC Radio Nottingham. The latest news and travel on the way for you, and the weather as well, in just a couple of moments' time.
Ever see a blind man cross the road, try to make the other side? Ever see a young girl growing old, trying to make herself a bride?
The Stereophonics on BBC Radio Nottingham and Handbags and Glad Rags. 29 minutes to 3 on BBC Radio Nottingham. These are your headlines. A wide-ranging review of Nottinghamshire Police's performance is being published this afternoon. Mother of James Bulger says she's angry not to have been told why one of his killers has been returned to prison. And hundreds of civil servants across Nottinghamshire have joined a two-day strike over cuts in redundancy pay. And your weather forecast. Cloud will increase gradually from the east during the afternoon. Temperatures are going to start to build a little bit, going up. That should be quite pleasant, hopefully, with light winds. 6 degrees Celsius, that's 43 Fahrenheit, your high. Tonight's generally cloudy and possibly a little drizzle from time to time as well. 1 degree Celsius, 34 Fahrenheit, your high then. And tomorrow, much the same as today.
No major problems on the roads across Nottinghamshire at the moment, I'm pleased to say. Looking good for the M1 in both directions, including through the ongoing roadworks between Junction 25 for the A52 and Nottingham and Junction 28 for the A38 and Alfreton. Cleanville Health through Nottingham City Centre, Mansfield and Newark also bringing back positive news. And on public transport, things are fine. I'm Adam Murray and I'll have more for you just after the 3 o'clock news.
More at bbc.co.uk/Nottingham.
BBC Radio Nottingham.
Thanks for the times that you've given me. The memory there's something I must say out loud. You once, twice, three times a lady, and I love you. Yes, you once.
Commodores and Three Times a Lady on BBC Radio. Seeing a music to come from John Paul Young and Beautiful South in the next 10 minutes of the programme. Also, historian Paul Wiltshire is still with me in the studio. We're having a history lesson this afternoon on the Anglo-Saxons. I've learnt so much. Can you tell me what date they first started their reign? 410. Good. How many years did they reign for? 650. can tell me, though, that Paul just mentioned to you a couple of moments ago, what was the name of the tribe, one of the main tribes that were here in Nottingham? Paul, I can't pronounce it, so that's your department.
Codetani.
That's it. I'm not doing bad, though. As we learned this afternoon, this is all because in 1,600 years ago, the Anglo-Saxons first came to Britain and Nottinghamshire as well. We were hearing a couple of moments ago how what a big impact they had on Nottinghamshire. You said, Paul, that when they came, although that you mentioned that main tribe, there was lots of different tribes and lots of different groups of people that settled right across Nottinghamshire, didn't they?
Yes, they did, all over England, actually. And eventually, England, it wasn't called England then, of course. We were called Saxons, we were called Anglo-Saxons, we were called the Land of the Angles. But what happened was slowly, over a period of two centuries, they began to settle. And the places where they settle have survived in a lot of county names. The Angles settled first in the east of England, the land of the East Angles, East Anglia, of course, in the Saxons in the south and the east. East Saxons were Essex, South Saxons, Sussex, the West Saxons, Wessex, and so we go on. A lot of place names have survived, but eventually the map of what we now know as England was divided into a series of large, what they called, kingdoms, but they weren't actually kings in the modern sense of the word. They were more like tribal leaders, tribal warriors.
So when you say there were sort of mini kingdoms, would it be a little bit like if you take Nottinghamshire as a county and then you take Mansfield and Sutton as like that?
Absolutely right. Would that,
but on a much bigger scale,
yeah,
that's how
on
it would
a much
be.
Bigger scale, yeah. And of course, the oldest and almost certainly the oldest place name in England, and the most important in many ways, was Kent. Because A, it was closest to Europe, of course, but it was there that Christianity first came into the country. The very first Christian leader was King Ethelbert of Kent in 597 AD. Now, why is that significant? Well, we were all a bunch of pagans and heathens then. And interestingly, when the Pope, who was Gregory the Great, he sent this missionary, Augustine, to Christianise us heathens, he reached the shores, you know, and he was so terrified by the reputation of the Anglo-Saxons, he fled back all the way back to Rome, which must have taken months. And said to Pope, look, do you think this is such a good idea? The Pope insisted, and he sent him back to us to Christianise us. Now, the reason that's significant is it was Pope Gregory the Great in 597 who actually referred to us as the Land of the Angles, the Angle Land.
Right, so he gave that name then?
Absolutely, yeah. Right, Joe. And that's where it started. And by the 10th century, we were called England. So that's where it came from.
Earlier, we were discussing while we were listening to the Stereophonics that, you know, you look around the world and English, you said to me, which I agree with, is the most spoken language. We certainly had an impact, didn't we, back then?
We did. You have to remember also, I believe, that it's the language of business. It's the language of international travel. It still is today by aircraft, by ships. It is the dominant language. So you have to say, well, why is that? There is something about us, the English, and about our ancestors. And sure, by the nature of what they achieved here, they really did have something about them. They were fierce, but they also had much finer qualities. And I think those finer qualities hit you right between the eyes. You don't need anybody to explain when you're standing in front of the treasures that were unearthed at Sutton Hoo, or indeed, on a more limited scale, what we saw at Stoke quite recently. They really were quite something. And there's a quality about the English which comes through time and time and time again, and particularly, Joe, in my opinion, in diversity. And without getting bogged down, we can look at Alfred the Great, who was on the throne in Wessex and really opened up England to be one nation. And he really was tough. He was a fantastic leader. And his qualities seen time and again. We see them in Henry V at Agincourt. We see them, particularly in my opinion, in Elizabeth I. We see them in people like Nelson. We see them in people like Churchill. And it's those qualities that we see replicated in our great leaders that I think has taken us around the world and make it such a success of us.
I've really enjoyed our history lesson this afternoon, Paul.
Thank you.
I want you to leave us with one thought, though. If you could sum up the Anglo-Saxons and there was one thing that you wanted to leave with us, one lasting memory or one thing for us to learn, what would it be about them, do you think?
A pride in our glorious past and to recapture some of that. And I can tell you that here in Nottinghamshire, there is a village where that is happening, and that's at Ollerton, where for the last, this will be the fifth year, they're trying to recapture a pride in the collective English values in their particular community and in their village. And they're celebrating St. George's Day entirely for the benefit of their community. And they're doing it in a medieval way. They weren't particularly aware of it. They just did it because they were passionate about it. But what they're doing is actually celebrating their culture, their connection to the land, which has been very, very important to us, and their Englishness.
Well, there should be more celebrations, George, don't you think? Because
I do indeed,
in a few days' time, everything will be green. Yeah. There'll be lots of Guinness in around, and there'll be major celebrations for St. Patrick's Day, not only in Ireland, but around the UK and many other places, including here in Nottingham as well, as you've heard recently on BBC Radio Nottingham. We've been talking about it. But then you look at St. George and maybe there'll be just a little bit of a whimper instead of a big party. I never get why that is.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I don't get political about it. I prefer to talk about English and Englishness in a very gentle and unpolitical way, and I will always do that. But what I would say is that it is vital to celebrate these qualities that we've had, the way that we have welcomed other cultures, which I think is magnificent. But I prefer us to do that in addition to our own culture, that rather than just completely rip our own culture. That's where I'm coming from.
Good to talk to you this afternoon.
Thank you, Joe.
Paul Wiltshire, Nottinghamshire historian on BBC Radio Nottingham. Thanks for coming in.
Trying to prove it won't fall out, and all the men are gargoyles dip long in Irish stout. The whole place is pickled, the people are pickles for sure, and no one knows that they've done more here than they ever would do in a jar. This could be Rotterdam or anywhere, Liverpool or Rome, 'cause Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone, anywhere alone. And everyone is blonde and everyone is beautiful, when blonde and beautiful are multiple, they become so dull and dutiful. And when faced with dull and dutiful, they fire at warning flares, battle cocky personality with red underwear. This could be Rotterdam or anywhere, Liverpool or Rome, 'cause Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone, anywhere alone. The whole place is pickled, the people are pickles for sure, and no one knows that they've done more here than they ever would do in a jar. Rotterdam or anywhere, Liverpool or Rome, 'cause Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone. This could be Rotterdam or anywhere, Liverpool or Rome, 'cause Rotterdam is anywhere, anywhere alone, anywhere alone.
Beautiful South and Rotterdam on BBC Radio Nottingham. This afternoon from 4, Alan Clifford will have all the latest news, sport, weather and travel for your Monday night for you. And of course, after 6, it's Match Talk with David Jackson, as usual. Time to have your say about everything that's happened over the weekend with the football. In fact, you can have your say now if you'd like to on our match line. You can call Nottingham 9580560. That's 0115 9580560. And you can email me comments to matchtalk@bbc.co.uk. That's matchtalk@bbc.co.uk.
Richard Spur on BBC Radio Nottingham. Nottinghamshire's biggest conversation.
What's so great is to open the lines, never knowing what to expect, and to hear your stories, your original points of view, and usually quite a few surprises too, when you dig deep enough.
Richard Spur, weekdays from 12, BBC Radio Nottingham.
In the air, everywhere I look around, love is in the air, every sight and every sound, and I don't know if I'm being foolish, don't know if I'm being wise, but it's something that I must believe in, and it's there when I look in your eyes. Love is in the air, in the whisper of the tree. Love is in the air, in the thunder of the sea. And I don't know if I'm just dreaming, don't know if I feel safe, but it's something that I must believe in, and it's there when you call out my name. Love is in the air, in the rising of the sun. Love is in the air, when the day is nearly done. And I don't know if you're an illusion, don't know if I see it true, but you're something that I must believe in, and you're there when I reach out for you. Love is in the air, everywhere I look around. Love is in the air, every sight and every sound.
John Young and Love is in the Air on BBC Radio Nottingham. To come after these at 3 o'clock, you can hear from the Ruddington man, who's one of the people behind 100 Stories for Haiti. You know, after the horrendous disaster, and you heard about it on the news, there's been many opportunities, hasn't there, to give, whether it be money or time, to raise funds. Well, this gentleman went a little bit further in helping a friend do something very special in the name of Haiti. You can hear about it on the programme. Also, great music to come from Roy Orbison, James Blunt, and also that song, Everybody Hurts, the charity single by all global stars that got together. You can hear that as well on BBC Radio Nottingham in the next 15 minutes of the programme. I want to mention this to you, though. This week on BBC Two, I don't think you've heard about this, they're launching a new series called Band for Britain. And Newstead Brass is aiming to show that they're not only a band for Britain, but also a band for Nottinghamshire, the Midlands and beyond. So the TV series is one thing, but Newstead Brass are wanting to mark their heritage by a free concert this coming Friday, that's March the 12th, at the Hucknall's Seymour Road Baptist Church, starting at 8 o'clock. So I'm hoping they'll be involved in a Band for Britain on telly on BBC Two. But on a separate issue, just to remind you about this concert on Friday. So the band are presenting this free concert for you. That's the 12th of March, Hucknall's Seymour Road Baptist Church. It all begins at 8 o'clock. If you want more details, then get in touch with us here at BBC Radio Nottingham. Nottingham 934 3434. Or you can text me 077 86 20 10 38. In a moment, I want to remind you about something that I did a few months ago that the time has come round to do again. All will become clear in a moment. This is one of my favourite songs, Razor Light, on BBC Radio Nottingham. This is America, 8 minutes to three now.
What a drag it is, the shape I'm in. Well, I go out somewhere, then I come home again. A lot of cigarette, cause I can't get no sleep. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that means that much to me. All my life, watching America. All my life, there's panic in America. Oh, 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 there's trouble in America. Yesterday was easy, happiness came and went. I got the movie script, but I don't know what it meant. A lot of cigarette, cause I can't get no sleep. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that means that much to me. There's nothing on the TV, nothing on the radio that I can believe in. All my life, watching America. All my life, there's panic in America. Oh, 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 there's trouble in America. Oh, 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 there's panic in America. Oh, 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 oh. Yesterday was easy as I got the news. Oh, when you get it straight, you stand up, you just can't lose. Give you my confidence, all my faith in life. Don't stand me up, don't let me down, no. I need you tonight to hold me. Say you'll be here.
Razorlight in America. Joe Davis with you this afternoon on BBC Radio Nottingham. You remember a couple of moments ago I just said to you I wanted to tell you about something I did that there's now a chance for you to do. Well, a few months ago, all in aid of BBC Radio Nottingham, I went on a walk around Nottingham city centre and further afield as well, and it was to celebrate the women who were famous being here in Nottinghamshire. And there were so many. The women of Nottingham that had an impact on what life is like today was incredible. I learnt so much. Well, there's one of these history walks going again, and it's happening this Saturday. That's the 13th of March, and you can go on it, and it's absolutely free. Now, to rediscover the women of Nottingham, the walk will start at Nottingham Castle, and you need to gather at the gates at 1 o'clock if you want to go, as I say. It's going to last about 2 hours, and the walk will take you through the city, and it'll finish at the Royal Centre. And there's no need to book. All you need to do is just turn up, and everybody is welcome to go along, OK? So if you want to go on the Women of Nottingham History Walk, you don't even have to be a lady. You can be a fella. It really doesn't matter. Lots to learn. Meet at Nottingham Castle at 1 o'clock this Saturday, and you can go on a nice walk for a couple of hours. Fingers crossed for good weather.